Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are here to do something wonderful with your life? Do you feel that call deep inside you to bring your sacred healing gifts and transformational knowledge to the world around you? Do you want to feel inspired as you build your business doing your beautiful work? Do you want to learn how to build a successful spiritual business? Well then, you're invited to listen in to the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show, where we explore how fun and easy it can be to build a strong, abundant business while at the same time staying deeply connected to the divine using your intuition, your own sixth sense. Join the irreverent Reverend Ann Presswell as she and her guests explore the many ways you can build a deeply connected, authentic, powerful spiritual business making money without feeling like you've sold your soul. You are here to get your gifts out to the world in a powerful, abundant way, and your people are waiting for you. Let's help them find you. Now, here's your host, Reverend Ann Presswell.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. It's so great to have you on the call with us today on this show. This is going to be a really special one. I want to say hello to my wonderful producer, Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, hello, hello.
And I want to welcome you all of those who are here on the call with us, both live and on the webcast. And we have a very special guest with us here today, Dr. Kara Gubbins, who is someone I've been connecting with on Facebook in different, in different methods, different ways. And I wanted to have her on the call today with us because she's got this incredible gift of, well, you know, if any of you know me well, you know, I'm a huge animal lover. I'm totally about, you know, my little beings, all the little creatures that show up in my life and, you know, communicating with them. Well, Kara is a communicator, and she's a medium, a pet medium, which is like, I just can't wait to hear all about it. Plus, on top of that, she's a spiritual business coach. So I'm very excited to have her here today and to talk with her about the spiritual business model, what a spiritual context for life and business is all about. And, you know, I just think that especially as we are building spiritual businesses, incorporating our spirituality into our work is an essential, essential part of growing our businesses the way we want to. Way, you know, authentically, whether we're talking about communicating with our animals, communicating with them after they've passed. I mean, I know that really kicked up for me after Cubby passed last fall. And also just grounding ourselves in that spirituality in our businesses so that there is no separation between the two. For me, that's the total juiciness of building a business like this. So I'm really excited to be talking with Kara. Kara, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you, Anne. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited you're here. And you have, like, all kinds of degrees and cool stuff like that, right? So let me just ask you to tell us your story, like how you got into doing this. Please share.
Oh, I'm going to try for the Cliff Notes version because I can get going on this one. But, you know, for me, it started when I was a kid, and I used to watch Jacques Cousteau on television. And I was like, oh, that's it. I want to be Jacques Cousteau when I grow up. And that's what sent me on the path to go to college and to get a master's degree. I got a master's degree in animal behavior and physiology. And then I got a PhD in ecology, evolution, and conservation biology because my dream was to have a boat and go study dolphins and just spend all my life, you know, figuring out what it was like to be a dolphin.
I love that.
So I did all that, and after I graduated, I was like, huh. And I was offered postdocs, and I was applying for jobs at universities teaching and doing research and all that stuff, and it just left me really flat. And I was like, well, what's up with that? Because this is what I've been working for my whole life. And then I was living in Tampa at the time, and my husband and I came back to California for Christmas to visit our families. And I found myself driving alone in West Marin on Highway 1, which is a really beautiful, very rural road along the coastline. And I was driving by this beautiful pasture, and there was like three or four horses kind of scattered around there. And I was just watching them, and then I noticed that I had tears rolling down my cheeks, like dripping on my hands. I was like, oh, gosh, what's that? And I was looking at these horses, and I was like, oh, my God, what's it like to be a horse? What is their experience of life? And I had such a longing coming out of me to know what these horses were experiencing that it was just like it overtook my whole body. And I drove past, and I was like, well, where did that come from? Because, you know, I've been studying dolphins for almost 20 years at that point. And I was like, you know, I get dolphins. Like, I get that longing to understand dolphins. But horses? Like, I've ridden a horse once. What's that about? And so as I was driving, I just kind of was letting this, you know, curiosity and this longing kind of play out. And what I went back to was before my dream of being Jacques Cousteau, I wanted to be Dr. Doolittle. And that was my real dream. And so when I shared that with my family, they're like, no, 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 you can't do that. You're making things up. You're using your imagination. That's bad. And so I'm like, ooh, okay, not going to do that. And so that was that childhood dream coming out again. And then from there, it took 10 years before I got the guts up to enroll in a psychic training class. I took a one-year psychic training class, and at the same time, I got another master's degree in spiritual psychology. And so that's what I call my training and my untraining. So I learned all the tools of being a psychic, and I learned all the untraining, all the beliefs and the misunderstandings and the judgments that were holding me back from just being myself and being my version of Dr. Doolittle. So I got the double whammy of the training and the untraining. And then I talked to my first dog, and I was like, holy crap, forget everything else. I'm going for the first dream. And I quit my job. I was teaching at the college, teaching biology and student success classes, and I was like, okay, done. I'm going for it. And I quit my job, and I started my own business as an animal intuitive, and then I figured out I could talk to pets that had passed on, and so I started doing that, too, and I was just like, ah, I mean, you could probably hear the smile in my voice. It was, like, such an amazing feeling to have this dream come true.
You should just see the smile in my face. I mean, this is, like, so incredible. What a journey. I mean, you got a PhD, for God's sake. Were you? Let me just ask you, were you at University of South Florida?
I was not. You know, I tend to do things very non-traditionally and kind of make things up in my own way as I go along. And so I grew up in Marin County in California. So I got my bachelor's at UC San Diego and my master's at San Francisco State. And I got my PhD at University of Nevada, Reno. And I did my field work in South Carolina.
Yeah, gotcha. No, that's fine. You mentioned Tampa because I was like, well, my husband got his PhD there. So I was like, well, I wonder if there was a crossover there, you know.
And
he went on and did all the postdoc and all that stuff, you know, like he's stayed in that realm, that whole world, which is, and you just like walked away from all of that and went into this like totally different world.
A totally different world.
Now I have to know, what caused you to step into becoming a business coach for, you know, if you call them the woo-woos, you know, I sort of like a joking kind of term, but seriously, what caused you to step into being a business coach for these healers, these intuitives, these psychics, you know, all of these people who are, you know, my people too? Like, how did you do that?
Well, you know, I found that I've been in business for about 4 years now, And I found that every year I add something. And I don't mean to. And, you know, like even yesterday I was talking to a friend. I was like, I'm so over my evolution in business. Like, I'm totally done. And it seems like I just can't stop it. But so my first year was really exclusively animals. Mm-hmm. And then my second year I started having clients who said, hey, will you get this reading for my cat? Can you do a reading for me? And I was like, yeah. I mean, you know, all my training was on people. I just fly at all the animals. And then the third year I started getting clients who had kind of more intense issues going on. And they would come to me for multiple sessions. And it turned out that I was kind of like intuitive coaching. But the thing was that, and I was doing a lot of energy work for them as well, and I loved the coaching because that's how I cleared my blocks to get to live my dream, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I loved doing that, but people were coming to me as a, you know, a psychic, and they didn't want to do the homework, and they didn't want to do the work on themselves. They wanted me to fix them, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And that got really frustrating. And so, you know, I started looking at the coaching and how fulfilling it was for me, and started really putting some time and energy into that because I felt like I could use all of my tools and skills and abilities at the same time. And so as I kind of went into the coaching thing, an opportunity to do a telesummit came up and with my co-host, Karen Yankovich, and we created the Heart-Centered Business Boot Camp last year. And I just loved helping people align with their souls and align with their calling, just like I had done for myself,
mm-hmm.
and go out and be the person they wanted to be, you know, and just live from that spiritual truth and that authenticity and that honesty. And so it really came about from one of the listeners there saying, hey, I'm a psychic medium, and you're a successful intuitive, and I want you to coach me on my business. And I was like, oh, that's great, but I don't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, oh, wait, I can do that because all of my coaching, I can apply it to these people that I love and I believe in and people that I want succeeding in the world because I want the world to be a place where we're all aligned with our souls and we're all living our truth and we're all sharing our gifts and we're all appreciated. And so then it just kind of became this perfect, you know, amalgamation of the intuitive and the practical experience that I'd had as a business person and the coaching experience that I got from my master's degree in spiritual psychology and all that. And so now I do all these things, and I do the intuitive readings, I do the coaching, and I love them all, and I just can't imagine life without one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do you fit in the animal piece? Is it sort of as a little aside, if you have someone who's a client who has an animal, or do you still do animal readings and mediumship with the pets who've passed over? I mean, how does that fit in with your business?
You know, as a business model, I'd have to say it's pretty wacky because I have really two separate lists,
mm-hmm.
and two separate communities, and so it's like I, in a sense, have two businesses. And the way I schedule my time is about half of it is devoted to my coaching clients and about half is devoted to doing intuitive readings for animals and people.
Gotcha. So you do you have one that you are now moving into? It sounds like more of the spiritual business coaching than the animal readings. But on the other hand, you have been doing this for so long, and it's been, you wanted to be Dr. Doolittle, and guess what? You are, you know, you really
yeah.
are. Dr. Kara.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. That's why, like, I'm so over myself, because it's like, why do I keep adding more stuff? Why can't I just, you know, find my niche and stay in my niche and, you know, just keep doing that? But
I'm just wondering if there is a niche. I think there is actually a niche for you specifically for your people who are the, you know, who are really wanting to learn that. I mean, I would be someone who would be very interested. I have books on animal communication. I know that when Cubby passed last year, he told me he was ready to go, and I believed him. I saw it, and I took him to the vet, and the vet said, he's not going to make it this weekend, and, you know, et cetera. And so we let him go, and it was very shocking. You know, it was like the day after Thanksgiving. It was a traumatic experience. But what happened that weekend was I became very open to the world of animals. He became my bridge, which mm-hmm. surprised me. I didn't expect that at all. I mean, I always have been very, very connected with the animal world, but that was a huge shift for me, and a delightful one. You know, it just has happened very naturally. And what's interesting is that I just think that there's a niche for you that has both. You know, it's not an either or. You don't have to have two separate lists. You could actually bring those two together.
Yeah.
Actually,
that's,
for you.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Actually, what?
I see that for you.
Yay. Thank you for seeing that for me, because that's kind of the direction I want to move, and to move into more of doing retreats with people and taking them out into nature and giving them, teaching them the tools that I use
mm-hmm.
As an intuitive. And connecting with animals. In fact, I'm going to Africa, yay, this fall, and doing a little pilot trip so that I can take people to Africa next year and
wow.
do some service work with some chimpanzees at a rescue organization and go out into nature and really connect with the wild animals there.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so I feel like, for me, and I don't think this is true for every intuitive, and I don't think this is true for every business person, but for me, things just keep moving and shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever, like, rest on my laurels. You know, I'd love to get that chance. But I feel like I'm still in the middle of this evolution in my business and just fine-tuning it and honing it and really in the process of having it become more and more of an expression of me. And
I can
and have more and more of me expressed in my work.
I can see that. And I can really see you settling into that space where it's all a part of who you are. It's not an either or it's not a, you know, well, let me choose over here. Let me send this letter out to these people.
Yeah.
Those people.
Yeah,
you know.
And there's, like you were saying, there's no distinction. And I think that's really, you know, the goal for all of us who are the light bearers, the light workers, the intuitives, the spiritual people. You know, it's really the more we get to be ourselves, the more we get to do good in the world.
Oh, my word, yes, yes.
Yes, yes. I think when we take care of the being, the doing takes care of itself.
Yeah. Well, so tell me
what. The more we're clear.
Tell me about this spiritual business model that you've got. That, like, just talk with me about that. Because we talked about not spiritual business model, your spiritual business plan. So tell me about that.
So for me, that's exactly what we're talking about right now. Is that there's no distinction in our world. You know, I think the traditional model in the United States is, you go to a place and you do work and then you leave and you don't think about it anymore and you come home and then you have like these two lives and you're two different people, right?
Yes.
You're like
yes.
your work personality and your home personality. And for some people, work is, you know, just a necessary evil, and then they get to really live on the weekends. And I think that model has gotten us so in our left brains and so in our egos and so disjointed that it just doesn't fit anymore. And I think so many more of the entrepreneurs who are coming forward now are people who are like, I can't split myself. I have to be me.
Yeah.
I need to make money being myself, and I want to step into that right livelihood.
Yeah.
And so to me, the spiritual business model is really taking that to heart and knowing that the more you do the work on yourself to be more of who you are, the more the work that you do is going to be a an expression of that and represent that. And you get to have more fun at work and be more you and be more fabulous and more, you know, talented and using your strengths and following your intuition and all that. And then the thing to know, and this is, I think, what the key of what I call my spiritual business model is that we kind of live life on two realms at the same time. And so there's the goal line, which is, you know, I want to make, you know, six figures this year. That's a goal on the goal line. And as you move towards that, as you move towards, you know, maybe now you're making $10,000, and then next year you make $30,000, and then, you know, you're working towards that $100,000 mark. So as you're moving forward on that goal line, which you can kind of think of as the x-axis on an x-y graph, as you move out on that x-axis, there's going to be a time when you're going to do some work on your soul line, which is the y-axis. So when you're making $10,000 a year, you're comfortable in your skin in a certain way. You know, things fit. But to really expand into $100,000, not only do you have to expand your business, you have to expand your beingness. And to do that, that's the spiritual work, that's the soul line work, and that's the inner growth work or the spiritual evolution work. And I see so many people, and I guess I should say, too, that that soul line work is the upset, right? It's the I'm not good enough, or I'm not qualified enough, or I don't have enough degrees, or I don't have experience. And that's the voice that stops a lot of people in their tracks. But that's also the soul work coming forward, because as we move towards our goal, anything that doesn't fit with being the person who makes $100,000, it has to be released, and it gets released through that soul line work.
Absolutely.
So just like a snake, you know, it grows bigger and then it has to shed its skin. Well, as we grow bigger and we become the new improved version of ourselves, we have to expand. We have to release that skin that doesn't fit us anymore. We have to shed that skin. But the way we do it is through our bodies and our feelings and our thoughts. And so for us, it feels like, oh, I just suck. I'm just a miserable human being. Oh, why did I think I could do this? Well, that's the soul work.
Mm-hmm.
That's the recognizing, the healing that has to happen. And so that's to me, the spiritual business model is knowing that as you move towards a goal, these demons are going to come up and you're going to love them and heal them and release them so that you can continue towards your goal.
It's, you know, I think that the journey of being a spiritual entrepreneur has, for me, been probably the most, like, the most incredible, as you're talking about, you know, just like releasing the skin, you know, something would happen, I'd get triggered, and I'd have to go deal with my issues around it in order to be able to step into that new space. And I've had so many issues come up.
Yes.
Hurting,
yes.
You know, it's like, you know, like, I had, you know, healing tools, and I'd gone through, I mean, I hate to say it, but thank God I'd gone through such a traumatic experience and healed from that, because I was able to use those tools to help me do the work I do now and continue to do that with my own clients. It's like, you know, I don't know anybody who is on this journey who hasn't had to do a boatload of inner work to get themselves clear and to, you know, create healthy boundaries and to, you know, to be healthy themselves and to, you know, to understand how to articulate what it is that they are saying. I mean, just, you know, little things, and it just does a lot of little things. You know, what is my message? Who am I? What am I doing? What am I bringing to the world? How am I sharing it with the world? What do I say about this? You know, all of those pieces. And so in order to continue to grow, and people seem to think, I see this over and over, and you probably do as well, that new entrepreneurs, especially spiritual, I won't say especially spiritual, let me just take that off. New entrepreneurs often see
for example, where I am and want to be there and expect that they're going to get there overnight, like, well, within 6 months. And if they don't, then they've failed. And it's like, no, honey, I've been doing this for years, you know, and especially online, I've been doing it for 6 years. So you can't, it's like, that's just so unfair. Don't you think? Do you find that as well, that they just see and they don't realize all of the blood, sweat, and tears that went into getting here? You know, it just, it was a lot. And it was a lot of joy, too. It wasn't all bad, but I had a lot of my own clearing to do. Do you find that as well, that you have, you know, some people have really unrealistic expectations?
Totally. And I think that the other thing that they do is they get stopped when they get triggered. And you describe it so perfectly, Anne. It's like, stuff happens, I get triggered, and I have to do my inner work. And I think so many of us, we believe that inner voice. Like, we don't have to believe everything we think.
It's not the truth. It's just your crap coming up. So get out of the way.
Exactly. So,
well, let me ask you, that, speaking of triggered, okay, so my whole world, can I talk about my kitty, Pixie, please?
Yeah, Pixie.
My sweet healing kitty. Now, Pixie came into my life 14 years ago when I found out what had been happening in our home. And she basically saved my life. I saved hers. You know, I found her by the side of the road. She's just a sweet, beautiful, adorable, gentle, kind, loving, you know, et cetera, et cetera. She taught me how to be a healer in my own right. She modeled it. She anchored that energy for me. She came in to help me through that period. Well, a couple years ago, she was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism, and we went on the meds and all of that. Then last year, she got irritable bowel disease, so, you know, diarrhea all over the, you know, it was like a constant cleaning up. We finally got that under control, et cetera. She is now, and in January, we had a really bad bout, and I was concerned about her, and I did a really deep connection with her, and she wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. And she said, I will let you know when I'm ready. Well, yesterday she tells me she's ready. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not totally not ready. No, I don't want to hear this. Like, I can't hear you, you know. And then she had a good day. A good day meaning she was eating well. She was, you know, walking around perky. She jumped up on, you know, furniture and, you know, and I'm like, okay, so I must be mishearing this. And the vet's out of town on vacation. I just found out yesterday. So, like, I have all of these things that I see, and this is a trigger for me. I will tell you, this is an area where I've decided I'm not traveling until she makes her transition, because there's nobody who will take care of her the way I am, who's going to watch over her. And, you know, I've done a ton of healing, Reiki, tapping on me, tapping for her. You know, we've gone through the Chinese herbs. We've changed foods. I mean, we've done all kinds of things to help support her in this experience that she's in. And I'm not ready to lose her. And I find myself very resistant to having her leave. And so I know she's holding on for me. I get that. I also get that she will let me know. I mean, really, really let me know. Like I said, I told her the other day, you've got to stop eating, you know, like in order for me to really get you're ready to go. That's got to be my clue, because if you're still eating and walking around, you know, like you're fine. You know, like I'm not letting you go yet. Do you know what I mean? So like how do you help someone who is a spiritual entrepreneur who deals with something like this? How do you help them with that?
Well, you know, for that, I would do two things. Number one, I would talk to Pixie and ask her for a little bit more of a timeline and ask her for how she's going to signal you, how you will know that today's the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that gives a little bit of comfort and relief on the very practical level.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, there you are on Tuesday, like, well, no, you can't can't go this week because I have the radio show tomorrow and I have the easy now on the next week. It's a bad time for you to go.
I'm going to be a mess. Wait, you can't.
How am I going to get my work done? You can't go now.
I'm sorry. But there's no good the thing. There's no good
time. No good time, so no, you got to stay.
I'm sorry. My life will get interfered with if you leave. Don't do that.
Yes. I'm sorry for your spiritual journey getting in the way of my business and my ordered life.
Yeah.
But you said a really interesting thing, Anne, and you said, I'm not ready to lose her. Yeah, because that's like really the heart of it, right? That's where, you know, it's touching you on that soul level, like I'm not ready to lose her. And what happened with Cubby, you know, Cubby kind of became even a bigger part of your life in a way, maybe not in the physical sense, but in terms of, you know, the opening that happened, that unexpected opening, that unexpected bridge to the animal world. That was a huge gift that couldn't have happened if he was still in physical form.
Right.
Right, because he couldn't be that go-between for you. And with Pixie, you know, I really get that she's going to be part of the team on the other side for you.
I get that.
And that she's taking you to another level, to the next level for you, whatever your next level is in that world.
You know, intuitively, I so get that. I just so get that. And you know, I'm over here tapping because I'm, you know, it's like really right there in front of me.
Which is perfect because this is where your spiritual evolution comes in. This is your spiritual growth.
This is exactly what you're talking about. And this is the process that we all go through when we get triggered about something. It doesn't matter what. And there is no separation between your business, especially spiritual business, and especially healing or intuitive business, and your life. There is no separation. Yes. That's what we're looking to create, is this perfect blending. And frankly, when something like that happens, you know, like everything gets affected. It touches everything because you are your business, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's really important to remember that we don't know what our spiritual lessons are while we're in the middle of them.
Yeah, whatever.
And, you know, and I had a very similar experience. I had my dog, Aiko, who was 13 and a half when she passed 2 summers ago. It'll be 2 years in August. And when she turned 13 in January that year, she went downhill really fast. And it was a very difficult 6 months. It was, you know, a lot of waking up twice a night to take her outside to pee, and her back legs didn't work. So I had to hold her up in the middle of winter in Northern California so she could pee outside.
Completely get that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and she did the same thing. She looked at me and she said, I'm done with acupuncture. This is my last time. I said, okay. And she said, 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, crap. No, you know, same kind of thing. And this thing that I got, so, you know, as part of my process, when I was getting my master's degree in spiritual psychology and I was really doing my own apprenticeship to become an animal intuitive, I went out and I interviewed animals, and I asked them all the same 3 questions. What's your spiritual gift? What's your spiritual lesson? And do you have a message for people? And I ended up writing a book that has not yet been published about that. And I took all that journey, my journey that year of discovery and the messages from these animals, and put it into a book. And so Aiko died about a year after I had completed that. But those questions were really, you know, present for me. They were just a part of my fiber at that point. And so I centered myself and I did a reading with her and I asked her, what's my gift? What's my lesson here? What am I learning? And she told me, that I was learning how devoted I could be. Because I've always been a very independent person. You know, I'm the one who's like, I got a truck when I got out of college, and I lived in my truck. And I drove around, and I was a rafting guide, and I was camping, and I would check in every month or so with my family. But that was me. You know, I was out there alone doing my thing and very, very independent. And when she passed, I was like, oh, my God, you're right. Like, the devotion and the dedication it took to show up for 6 months in that way. And of course, for the 13 years prior to that. But I was like, that is an amazing gift to give to me.
Oh, my God. I forget that.
The ability to be there in that way 100% completely for another being.
That's exactly what's going on over here. 100%. Like, there's no anything except 100% paying attention to what's going on with her, taking care of her, and what an incredible gift. Because I don't think I've ever been this devoted. I mean, yes, I am with my business. Yes, I was with my daughter, of course. But there's something that she's called forward from me that is so deep within. Thank you for that. That's an incredible gift.
And that's her. I mean, she's brought you so many gifts, right?
And
now there's another one. Like, this cat is really generous. An amazing soul. This cat is really generous, bringing forward so much for you in your life. You know, on the healing level, on the awareness level, and really, what a gift to get to see yourself in a new light. That's huge.
Thank you for that. Yeah, that's powerful.
You're very welcome. So, you know, the other thing is that, and you know this from all the tapping that you do, is that 90% of what we feel isn't present time emotions. And so when you said the phrase, I'm not ready to lose her, that kind of made me think, what did you not want to lose when you were younger? What did you have that? Because it's not a misunderstanding, because on the spiritual level, there's no separation, right? You're always connected to Pixie. I have a feeling that you're going to grow into a whole new relationship with Pixie. Like, it doesn't end.
Right.
And yet at the same time, like, I have to say that with a caveat, like, I totally get, like, I'm starting to cry because I would give so much to pet Aiko right now.
Right.
Like, to hold her and to feel her fur and to see her smile and,
right,
you know, all that. That loss is very real. And I don't mean to minimize that in any way, but also as spiritual beings, we know that there's no separation and there's no loss. And so going back to I'm not ready to lose her, taking that feeling back in time to what loss did you experience that you weren't ready for?
Well, I'll tell you what's coming up, and it was after Pixie came into my life. My sister died in a car accident, very unexpectedly, and she was 33. You know, I wasn't ready to lose her. This was 12 years ago, and I know that you're talking about before that. There, I mean, you know, we all have losses in our lives, but that's the biggest one that is standing out in my mind. And I've done a lot of work around it, but still, things do get in our energy fields and in our brains. Things do get mixed in, if you will, or whatever you want to call it. I call it collapsed. So, I do is uncollapsing where things are collapsed in, so that it gets separated out and cleared out. Whether that's the one, I don't know, but, you know.
Well, and you know, if like we were in a coaching session, that would be where we would go because that's what's coming up to be healed. Like, you know how it is with healing. It's so circular. You come back. You heal it, and then you come back and you heal it at another level, right?
Yeah.
So that would be where I would want you to look and see what part of you is still feeling like you're not ready to lose your partner.
Please. Liz, do you know what that noise is? Yes, please.
Sorry, I can't hear. Is there a strange noise?
Oh, there was on my end. Not on yours.
Yeah, mine too.
Was it typing?
I don't know.
Okay, has it stopped?
Yes, it has.
Okay. I think that was me typing. I was just written, healing is circular. I just thought it was so fabulous.
yes.
Can I just comment on something?
Yes.
I went through a similar, really, really big loss. You know, when you have these really big pet losses, the ones that really, really leave a before and after in your life. So I went through one of those with my little Chihuahua, Barney. And I remember thinking before I had to let him go, I remember thinking, I'm in so much pain right now, but I think I can hold my pain right now in this moment. And if I can hold it now, I can hold it in the future. What I can't hold is me holding this pain and projecting my pain into the future as well. That feels too much. But if I can just hold mine now and know that he'll be better and he'll be fine, that I can deal with. I don't know if that helps or makes any sense.
It does, actually. It makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
It actually brings you back to the moment of right here, right now, rather than extending into the future and carrying that pain with you, which then becomes just totally overwhelming. It just brings you back to this moment right here, now.
Yeah,
this
because
moment.
you get into the how can I possibly...
Right.
You know.
How am I ever going to without her? You know. No.
Yeah, exactly. And I used to say to myself, I would do anything literally to get him back. If someone said to me, okay, you have to now start and walk barefoot with no money whatever and get to China and then you get your dog back, I would have managed it.
Right.
I would have managed it. I would have done absolutely anything on the world, anything on earth, but obviously it wasn't possible. But that was my thing. If I can just hold my own right now and know that he's okay, I can deal with that. That's all.
Yeah, I get the sense that she is, for me, you know, I see Pixie and she looks at me and she's just fine. You know, she's just like, I'm fine. I don't know what your problem is, but everything's fine. You know, like, get over it, all right? It's okay. You know, there's just so much just pure acceptance of the moment right here, right now, and that's yet another gift, to trust that, to just surrender to it. And, you know, I guess the thing that I get a little confused in sometimes is, well, if I'm a co-creator, can't I just create the healing for her, you know, or is that just, again, one of those spiritual lessons that's none of my business, and you've done everything you could possibly think of short of, you know, making her go through a really, you know, awful procedure, and now at this point, and she had told me she didn't want to go through it, so it's like, well, okay, all right, you know, do you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's the part where I start to second guess myself. Well, what if I had done this? Maybe I should have done that. Maybe I shouldn't have done the Chinese herbs. Maybe I should have kept her on the medicines, but the medicines weren't working. The medicines were making her worse. The herbs made her better. You know what I mean? So it's, yeah, anyway.
Sorry, can I just say that?
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Sorry, please. I do just need to say that the lines are open. If anyone wants to call in with a spiritual business question, that the number to call either the Skype icon at the top of the show or on 646-668-2211. Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Dr. Kara.
Oh, so I think what I was going to say was that, you know, that's the Buddhist definition of suffering is, you know, there's pain in life, but we definitely create ourselves.
Yeah.
And that suffering comes from the resistance to what is. And Pixie's such a beautiful example and model of loving what is, whatever it is. It just is, and I'm really accepting it. And I think, you know, my mom died when she was 55, and she had a beautiful death. I mean, it was just like 40, 50 years too early, right?
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful death. And I was blessed to be there with her, and my brothers and my sister and I were all with her when she died. She knew she was going to die. And that is not our standard view of dying, right? Our standard view of dying is pain and loss, and it's horrible and it's bad and let's avoid it. But what Pixie is really bringing forward is an opportunity to have a beautiful death, just like my mom had a beautiful death.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. And Pixie, not only, you know, hopefully her passing is, you know, painless and, you know, easy and graceful for her. That would be my wish for her.
Yeah,
and it sounds like she's got that going on. But also that transition time leading up to that sounds to me to be really like a beautiful opportunity for you guys to deepen into your time together and really savor.
If I can, stay out of my loss and my grief and just stay present to my love, we're good, right? We're good.
Yeah, or, you know, feel your loss, feel your grief, feel your pain, because when you feel it, it moves through you, and then you can be more present.
Yes.
And I read somewhere that, you know, for a healthy grieving process, we do most of our grieving before the event, before the loss.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, another gift that Pixie is giving you is this opportunity to be sad with her still there so that you can, you know, have that feeling and allow it to move through. And you know on the other side of those feelings, and I know you've experienced this, is like the beauty and the freedom and the love and the expansiveness. It's that resistance that's the contraction.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And knowing that you've done everything.
Actually, I joked with my husband recently that my workload will decrease by half when she passes because I'm so busy, you know, cleaning up and, you know, just 100% attention if she needs something. And, you know, it's just amazing to me how much energy that takes, you know? I mean, when you have have a very sick little one, it's it just does take a lot of time and energy. And she, like, she'll, for example, it's just a little one. She doesn't want to eat food by herself. She'll come into my office and ask me to come in and stand next to her and pet her while she eats. Right? So, and that's 100 times
Princess
a day.
Princess Pixie.
So.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, it's
the ball.
It's a little thing. Really, you want me to be right next to you while you eat? Really? And she's like, yes, please, because a lot of times Maya, who's much younger, she's 3 years old, likes to pounce on Pixie, and Pixie doesn't like it. So, you know, she gets, you know, all discombobulated when Maya just says, hey, look. Anyway, sorry. And just a little.
Pixie
little,
gets to eat in peace.
And she wants to eat in peace. I don't blame her.
Yeah.
So, Mom, if you're standing there, then Maya won't do that, okay? So it's just that simple.
She's a smart one.
Yeah, she is. All right. I'm gonna. So tell us what your free offering is for people. I know you've got a gift for people who are listening, who want to, you know, and we're gonna have that, by the way, on the page. So anybody who, you know, goes to the page can download it as well. They can get, you know, good access to this offering that you've got.
Awesome. Well, so, you know, as we've been talking about, to me, it's all about aligning with your soul. And so the free gift that I'm offering today is an ebook called Live Your Right Livelihood, Clearing Your Blocks to Abundance. And so it takes this whole model of the goal line and the soul line. Is, you know, your goal is creating your own business, being you. And the blocks are anything that keeps you from doing that. And so I actually have a tapping sequence in there because I find that one of the major blocks that people have is the limiting belief that I can't make money doing my calling.
Yeah.
People won't pay me for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, and that's first chakra, so it's like really fundamental to our survival and really in there pretty deep. And so that's the one that I go to in depth. and give people this process of, you know, identifying that goal and clearing the blocks and tapping on that to do that so that you have, you know, I think of it as creating more space within you, that can be the love that you truly are. Because wherever we have these misunderstandings and these limiting beliefs, that's a part of us that is not in the love. It's not being us. It's being this misunderstanding. And so when we love it and we heal it and we release it, that space that it was occupying is now space that is us. That's the truth of who we are. So we get to become more and more of ourselves the more we do this clearing work. And then, like I said, you take care of the being and the doing takes care of itself. If you're being different, you're going to do different. And that right livelihood just starts, you know, unfolding in front of your eyes.
Kara, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, this is about animals and about business. For example, does Pixie, or animals in general, does she understand that Anne has a business club? Do animals get the whole business thing, the whole money thing? Like today I've been working this morning at a riding school, and I was looking at the ponies and I was going, I wonder if these ponies know that they're part of a business. Do they get that?
You know, I love that question, and I have not thought about that. So I'm just kind of feeling into that one. And, you know, what I get is it's really individual, that some of them do, and some of them are just a little bit baffled that we go off and we do these things. And then we come back, and then we, you know, we live with them again. But we go off and we do something separate. I truly believe that animals are individuals with their individual intelligences and awarenesses and all those kinds of things. And they get things at different levels and different abilities. So to me, there's not a blanket statement about animals, like, yes, they get it, or no, they don't get it. Because as I'm kind of asking my guides for guidance on this question, I'm seeing lots of pictures of, in fact, I see this horse corral. And it's like a couple of the horses, like, get it. Like, people pay money, and they come here, and then they leave. And, like, there's this agreement between them, between the horses and the people, that we're going to show up and do this. And then there's some of them who are like, do-do-do, oh, it's today. And so today before lunch, this is what we do. So I really think it's an individual ability and awareness and individual makeup that determines what their kind of interests and awarenesses are.
Thank you so much. That was fascinating.
Does that
thank
make
you.
Sense, Elizabeth?
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah, thank you very much.
Sure.
So I have a question then. You know, is it okay to ask about, you know, about animals, you know, another one about animals? Or bugs?
Yeah, like, my love for animals is boundless, and my ability to talk about them matches it.
All right. So how do you deal with how, like, I can connect with and communicate with, I feel like I can, most bugs, most creatures, but I'll tell you, I've had an ant infiltration in my house this year. That has just, you know, we've had to really declare boundaries by, you know, re-caulking the whole area downstairs, et cetera. And yet still they find their way in. You know, I'm like, seriously. So I'm curious, like, does your animal communication expertise extend into that world as well? Is there, you know, and how do you...
I have not had good luck with ants, personally.
they are so persistent.
But here's the thing, because ants represent service to humanity or service to the group.
Okay.
So I feel like they are little messengers from your spirit guides when you're not getting it yet. You're not getting the message yet, Anne. You're here for serving humanity. Why aren't you stepping up to that? I feel like they're calling you to do something else, and that this is the message of the ants to you, that you just, and I don't mean this in any judgmental way, like you haven't gotten it yet, but it's like you haven't looked at it through those glasses yet, through those
have not.
All I've glasses. Yeah, I know. And I used to live in Florida, and I totally get it because there's like gazillions of them, and all of a sudden they're everywhere and they're relentless.
Yes.
And I think once you tune into, and I think you can even ask them, what's the spiritual lesson? What am I not getting? What am I supposed to be learning here from this? And look into some of the symbolism of ants. That might help you. I'm trying to think of the names of some books for that. But, you know, just doing a little research might kind of, you know,
yes,
trick your intuition.
Yeah.
Animal speak.
I have it, and I have done research on it. I you know, people say that they can talk with the ants, and they've had great success. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Clearly, I'm not listening. Clearly, I'm in reaction. Clearly, I'm like, girly, you know, you are in my kitchen. Get out! I don't want you here.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I think like boundaries are good too. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with not wanting them in your kitchen.
Thank you.
Get the heck out.
Yeah.
I totally am in agreement with that.
Yeah.
But I think the lesson is something else for you.
It's interesting. The service to humanity piece is very, very interesting because, you know, we are doing the joint venture giveaway, which I think is a huge service to spiritual entrepreneurs, helping them get their work out in the world. I think that doing the Blog Talk Radio is of service to spiritual entrepreneurs. It's helping them get their work out in the world. It's helping people get to know one another. It's helping each one of us get ourselves. It's normalizing this process, this experience that we are having. So to me, in many ways, I feel like I am doing it, and maybe they're reflecting it. And it's possible that there's something else for me to learn because they have, thank goodness, reduced significantly, but there's still, you know, a few persistent buggers there. I just don't, maybe there is something else for me to pay attention to. I just wonder if maybe there's a reason that they showed up at the same time I was launching these two really big platforms.
Sorry, Anne, I'm going to have to interrupt. We're going to actually have to bring it to an end in a minute or so.
Thanks, Elizabeth. We appreciate that. Okay. Everyone, go ahead. We've got like
30
seconds.
I'm just going to say the ants, that's their message. Maybe you are getting it. And I also think that there's something that you are longing to do with girls in person.
Longing to do with what?
With girls, some sort of service project with girls in person.
Okay. That's an interesting one. All right. I can hear you typing again, Elizabeth, sweetie. All right. Let's close this out. I want to thank you so much, Kara, for being here. I am so grateful that you gifted us with your time, your wisdom, and your knowledge. And everyone who's listening to this, may you all know the gift that you are to the world. May you know how powerful you are, how powerful your gifts are. When you are aligned with the divine, you are doing what you came to do. You are being that pure expression of the divine in this world. May you share that with the world. May you share it with one another. May you share it with yourselves. Now go get your divine on. Have a beautiful week, everyone. Thank you so much for being here.
This episode of the Divinely Intuitive Business Show has been sponsored by the Divine Business Club, the only place where divine intuitives like you can get proven business building advice on how to get your sacred gifts out into the world and make the impact and the money that you want to make for less than $1 a day. For more information, go to www.divinebusinessclub.com.